When tens of thousands of Egyptians gathered in Cairo's Tahrir Square last spring demanding the ouster of U.S.-supported dictator Hosni Mubarak, the nation's armed forces played a decisive role in forcing Mubarak to resign on February 11th. When Mubarak ended his 30-year reign in power, it fell to Egypt's Supreme Council of the Armed Forces to organize the nation's transition to democracy. Initially, the military promised a 6-month transition period, after which they would step aside and make way for civilian rule. But when the generals extended their leading role in government to 2 years, Egyptians again took to the streets last week, gathering in Tahrir Square and other cities, demanding a rapid transfer to civilian control, with some calling for a delay in the first round of parliamentary elections. Clashes between police and protesters left more than 40 dead just days before voters went to the polls on November 28th to cast ballots in the initial stage of the nation's first post-Mubarak-era parliamentary election. In flaming anger in the streets, the Egyptian generals stood by their plan to impose a constitution that would give the military control over its own budget and grant the army ultimate political power, as they appointed Kamal Ghansouri, a former Mubarak premier, as Egypt's new prime minister. While refusing to immediately step down, the Supreme Council of the Armed Forces pledged instead that elections will be held for a new president by mid-2012, sooner than previously announced. Your reporter spoke with Saif Dinah, associate professor of sociology and international studies at the University of Wisconsin, who explains why he believes the action of Egypt's army constitutes a counter-revolution against the popular uprising that ousted Mubarak from power earlier this year.
The Supreme Military Council in Egypt was supposed to surrender power or relinquish power to a civilian administration that should oversee the writing of the constitution or the new constitution. Well, it was supposed to relinquish power 6 months after the fall of Mubarak, but they did not. It's been more than 10 months right now. And the assistant to the prime minister issued what is called supra-constitutional principles. Initiated by the Supreme Military Council, that gives the Military Council some kind of veto power over the new constitution and over the composition and the formation of the constituent assembly that would be chosen by the newly elected parliament to write the constitution. So in some sense, the Supreme Military Council is, after it took over the power of Mubarak, back in February, it's trying to remain the caretaker of the country and continue to control the country. But this is not really happening as part of kind of political regrouping in Egypt after the fall of Mubarak, and different groups have different interests now. Some have interest in a new election. Some don't have interest in a current election. They want the election to be held later, because they think the Muslim Brotherhood are well-financed, well-organized, and they will take over the parliament. I'm talking about most of the activists on the ground, really, who did not have the chance to organize in political parties the way the Muslim Brotherhood are. But it's part of a really political regrouping in the whole region. There is an attempt by regional powers and by global powers to abort the outcomes of the Arab revolutions in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Libya, in Yemen, in Syria, everywhere. And really the heading for discussing this issue in the Middle East by most Arab commentators is counter-revolution, that the Supreme Military Council in Egypt is a tool of regional and global counter-revolution against that attempts to abort the Arab Spring or Arab revolts, mainly by Saudi Arabia, that has been financing such counter-revolution. And Saudi Arabia is known to be one of the most oppressive regimes in the world, have no interest at all in any democratic transformation, not only inside Saudi Arabia, but any part in the region, because they think that will affect the conditions in Saudi Arabia. And of course, we know that other global powers like the U.S., who supported despotic regimes for a very long time, and European countries like France, who have some interest in the region, mainly oil, like the scenario of Libya testifies, don't have any interest, really, or any genuine interest in real democratic transformation in the region.
When hundreds of thousands of people across Egypt demonstrated to remove Hosni Mubarak from power, many people in those demonstrations viewed the army as a neutral arbiter and protector of the people of Egypt, helping to hasten the day that Hosni Mubarak left power. How has public opinion changed since the ouster of Mubarak?
Well, to begin with, there is a significant shift in the public opinion in Egypt regarding the Supreme Military Council. And they actually make a serious distinction, and that's really true, between the ordinary soldiers who are conscripts, they're the sons and daughters of the people of Egypt, and the Supreme Military Council, because it took over the office of the president. So they look at it as a committee with the power of president of the republic. Most of the people in Egypt, really, who participated, or the activists who participated in the revolution against Hosni Mubarak, are really intelligent, and they really understood from the very beginning that the Supreme Military Council was actually part of the Mubarak regime, and they still perceive it as such, and that explains much of its behavior, really. But obviously, the Military Council had no intention from the very beginning to surrender power, and that's what is bringing the current uprising against them.
There's been reports of a large turnout for voters coming out in this new parliamentary election. In the rounds of the election ahead for a new parliament, the first parliament since the fall of Hosni Mubarak, are these elections, in your view, free and fair from the reports you're getting?
You know, they're held over 2 days, and this is part of what's worrying some of the activists, that holding the elections in three parts, two days each, makes a room for some bad moves from the side of the Supreme Military Council. But that notwithstanding, you know, the elections most likely will be held and will be fair and transparent. The main issue here is, really, should it be held right now? And I think there is an issue with this, because a significant number of the forces on the ground are not really ready for it. So I won't be surprised to see the Muslim Brotherhood taking over most of the parliament, or a significant percentage of the parliament seats.
That was Saif Dinah, Associate Professor of Sociology and International Studies at the University of Wisconsin, Parkside. Find more information on the political situation in Egypt by visiting our Between the Lines website at btlonline.org.